Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 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 Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to all my friends out there. It is April the 22nd, 2026. It's right around 10:30 p.m. Right here on the Olympic Peninsula. Nestled near the Olympic Mountains, near the sea. Near the sea. Nestled someplace near the sea. And if I sound like I might be having a stroke or something like that, well, it could be the case because even with the new meds, my blood pressure is still kind of high, and I'm having a hard time with that. And currently, it looks like, based upon a letter I read the other day, that this district is going to fire me. And I don't feel as if I have any recourse, and I don't think that people really do care that much. And from the perspective of the teachers and the administration, I think the paraeducators in general get treated like trash. I feel the longer this lasts, the more likely it is I'm going to get sick. And right now, it's bad enough. But a little bit longer, a little bit more of this, a few more weeks of this, another meeting or so. The ambiguity, the secrecy. And let me tell you something about secrecy. And this is really critical. Because it's funny, the union person, the union rep, kind of laughed on the phone last night when I mentioned I was too poor to pay union dues. She thought that was funny. When I mentioned my blood pressure and the meetings and the issues I had, see, I think she thought that was funny. Maybe she's right. I signed away my rights. I think she thought that was funny. I don't know. It could be funny, right? All of it. Really, really funny. Right now, the process they're putting me through feels like it's killing me. And maybe it is all in my head, but on the other hand, they bend over backwards these days in all the purple fuzzy rooms for people and their feelings. And that includes Mega Man and Papa Blumpity Blump. But if you're a middle-aged piece of garbage like me, nobody fucking cares. They really don't. If you're a man, a white man, a ginger man, whatever the fuck that means, you're a white man, and you're 56 years old and you don't have kids and you don't have a wife, you don't have a car, you don't have a nice suit that you could wear to a special star chamber meeting, you're garbage. And God forbid you have college degrees, because people will look at you and say, what's your excuse? Because what you are a reminder of is the fragility of things. Your mere existence reminds them that there is nothing protecting them. Any awards, any little degrees on their walls, none of these things are protections. And very, very soon, that reality is going to come crashing down in everybody's face. Somebody asked me today, do I think there's karma for people like the people at the district who are putting me through this? Is there karma for them? No. But there's fucking reality. And very soon, reality is going to hit them just like it hits the rest of us. Folks, I'm just a little bit further ahead. Okay, I'm a little further down the road than many of you, but that road is rocky and slow and treacherous, but it's also crazy, and that road's your road soon too. Just a little bit further down the road. And I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm not supposed to mention it. I'm not supposed to, you know, it's funny. They say I can have a representative, but to find one, I have to talk to people I'm forbidden to talk to. The entire thing is meant to be secret, so nobody understands what's going on. And I learned this a long time ago. When a bully or an abuser tells you to keep something secret, it usually means something bad's happening. Invariably, these types of things should be optional, because this is my reputation. They're accusing me of abuse. They're accusing me of things that a police officer should have arrested me for, if in fact I was guilty of them. These accusations are not just mostly bullshit, but they're torture. They're cruel. You have to be a mean-spirited piece of shit to put your name to the letter they sent me. And at this point, no matter what happens, right now I'm on sick leave. I am, and legitimately so. I just started new blood pressure, and I feel like I'm going to stroke out right now. But legitimately, these are cruel crap heads. And if you say, well, damn, they're following process. Really? The same process that involves bloodborne pathogens, understood kids with very serious mental issues who are bleeders. Oh, wow, I'll just leave it there. The point is, I can't say more, but there are many examples I have seen, to include almost exactly similar incidents to my own, where the policy was different, where they chose not to apply it at all. So please, if you're going to give me some bureaucratic bullshit, fine, but the policy serves only one purpose, to rationalize the shit that's happening to me. It is cruel. It is fucked up. This district has shown on more than one occasion that's willing to bend the rules. But in my case, I faced the policy. I got ringing in my ears. Like I said, I think I'll stroke out one of these nights. And I am sure the motherfuckers at the administration and the district would make them so fucking happy if I just stroke out. Folks, people that behave like this, their behavior does not improve after day zero. They don't become better people. They don't become kinder or wise. And you could argue, well, then that means, what does it really mean? I mean, these are people who are probably crooked enough to do just about anything to survive. These are people who will skip the queue on the way to cannibalism. That's the type of people we're talking about. Next topic. Indeed, Explorer and a Tab Camper, a Daikin Mini Split Install, Upcyclers Love Gone and Quality the Cost, and there's an Antarctica Flash Sale. Did you know there's an Antarctica Flash Sale? Yes, there's an Antarctica flash sale going on. Did you know that? Thank you. Headline, U.S. military used up nearly half of Patriot missiles during Iran war. This is written by Philip Tomotija and is published to The Hill on the 21st of April this year. The U.S. military has used up nearly half of its stockpile of Patriot air defense interceptor missiles, crap, and heavily expended six other key missile stockpiles, also probably crap, during its seven-week strike campaign blot. Let's stop right here. I was an air defense officer in the United States Army, but I was 14 Sierra, which means short range. So I didn't work in high, medium altitude. I didn't work with Patriots. I worked with Stinger missiles. Very different type of weapon, very different types of targets, okay? I was told in the 90s by battlefield commanders that I reported to that nobody needs air defense any longer. Multiple occasions. Well, Dan, our Air Force achieves air superiority, supremacy. We dominate. And again, exercise after exercise, if we were participating in any type of war game, they would use the Avengers in my platoon, not for the purpose of air defense, but because they had only one good feature, and that was their FLIR. They had a really good forward-looking infrared. And again, that was related originally to the Stinger missile system, but a great FLIR. The Avenger itself is a piece of shit weapon system, but it had a FLIR for for Overwatch. Now, as far as weapon systems go, based upon, again, anecdotal information from the war in Afghanistan between the Soviets and the Mujahideen, and based upon, testing and evaluation, because we haven't really had a super hot conflict with a comparable power where we've had to use Stinger missiles. Again, the idea in the 90s, according to these generals and colonels, is that air defense is no longer needed. When people ask the question, well, Dan, how did we get... You didn't get caught off guard. You didn't get caught off guard. It's called neglect. I mean, I frankly am not a fan of the military-industrial complex, but if another person says or gives me that 9/11 excuse, if only we spent more money, go fuck yourself. We've spent ourselves into a penury existence. We've spent ourselves into the poorhouse. This is it. This is the end of the game. We've blown a shit ton of money. I don't know where it went. I knew a gaslighter once who would say, well, we went to swimming pools and cocaine. But he was also a gaslighter. And frankly, probably being paid by some of the money that, he said went to swimming pools and cocaine. Yeah. We were told that there was no need for any professional interest in short-range air defense for the United States military. Yes, high, medium altitude because the Patriot's so awesome. And that's another narrative. If you research the Patriot missile, it doesn't have a great record. It's very expensive. But for its cost, it's not a great system. And war is also about cost. How much does it cost to produce that missile? People can say, well, Dan, money is incidental. Not when you've cut off 30% of the oil. People start thinking about cost when it comes to things like helium and chips and stuff like that. But no, people play pretend. They said 30 years ago, don't worry about it. They said 30 years ago, don't spend any money on it. They said 30 years ago, it was irrelevant. These were the thinkers in the United States Army. I can't speak for the Marine Corps. I can tell you probably what the Air Force thought and the Navy, whatever. But in the Army, they said it does not matter. So please do not be shocked that three decades later, you're in the situation you're in. You all could have been doing the right thing, especially the officers in the Army. You could have pushed back and said, listen, we have new kinds of threats. And we knew about these threats in the 90s, okay? Who do you think pioneered the unmanned aerial vehicle in combat? Well, arguably the Germans during World War II, but that's a separate topic. United States, we were using UAVs and drones back in the day, and yes, they're smarter today, they're more brilliant today, they've got more AI today, but we were using intelligent or smart bombs back in the 90s. And back in the 80s, supposedly, right, you know, back in the 80s, supposedly, with the Strategic Defense Initiative, we were working on hypersonics. You can go back. You can go back to the open press of the mid-80s, and you'll find articles about how, well, we're working on hypersonic aircraft and hypersonic missiles and other hypersonic things. Well, shit. It seems like we've been talking about that for 40 years. Where are the hypersonics? The Russians have them. The Chinese have them. Ostensibly, these people that Trump loves to ridicule, the Iranians have them. But we don't. So when you listen to this conversation, I don't want to get into other aspects of it. The title of this podcast is The Big Dial, because looking at the Iran war, there's a lot that is starting to just not add up. And it reminds me of the Ukraine conflict. But what they both have in common, and this is interesting, is that they're using up weapon systems that we show no interest in replacing. If you're concerned about a mutiny in your armed forces, these are weapon systems you would want to get rid of, toot sweet. You would want to get rid of any air defense. You'd want to get rid of any type of system that might be used to allow a military to operate against its own government, especially if its own government has technology that's way more advanced. If you were concerned that people would catch on to the fact that every day, and this includes not just service people, but they have families, that every day the United States citizenry is being poisoned from the skies, and you suddenly come to the realization it happens every fucking day, and it's giving people the cancer and giving people the other diseases, and people are dying every day. And it's not because of your plastic cutting board. It's not because of any of the bullshit they're telling you. It's literally falling from the fucking skies. Yeah, you might turn on a Hawk missile system, because at that point, you're fighting chemical warfare. The one thing that Iran and Ukraine have in common is they are using up soldiers, they're using up weapon systems, they are directing the attention of the militaries of the world towards something that might not even remotely be the problem they need to solve. In that sense, the Iran conflict is working perfectly. And just like with Ukraine and the COVID monkey herpes, it looks like there's a dial attached to it that goes from 0 to 10 or 11 if you like, you know, Spinal Tap. You need to turn up the dial, you turn it up. You need to turn it down, you turn it down. And in some sense, Trump, the calm of smoke, is turning this into almost a meta issue. Like there's a meta narrative of him turning the dial up and down like a madman, and people are just sort of taking it for granted. I mean, the bare minimum is investigate trades, investigate options, investigate the futures market, commodities, because the bare minimum here is that that family is deeply corrupt, and they're making money off the deaths of thousands of people, and if this gets any worse, it could be millions of people. But that's really right-siding, isn't it? So let's just simplify this. If somebody comes up to you and says, nobody in ADA, in the Army, in the 90s, pushed back and said, we've got a problem, that's not true. I was one of those people who pushed back and got in trouble. Believe me, the history of Dan sticking his arm in a fan blade goes back a long ways, pre-Army, but way back, yeah. I was one of those people who did push back and also said, it looks like our military is getting hollowed out. I remember telling my battery commander this before I, you know, resigned my commission. I said, it looks as if the purpose of what's going on is to hollow out the military. And ostensibly, and this is what we were told in 1999, there's no money. But then later we learn, well, there was a shit ton of money. We just don't know what we spent it on. Cocaine and swimming pools, right, Gingerbeard? No, there were air defense officers in the 90s and other folks who pushed back on this idea that ADA's role is irrelevant and therefore there's going to be no real proper research or effort. We'll just keep the Stinger forever, assume the Stinger missile will solve all our problems. And that, yeah, maybe we need high, medium, but short range, we'll just have the 50 gal and the FLIR and the Stinger. Oh, we'll put you in an armored truck. Okay. We've been Stinger missiles, short range air defense mostly for the last almost 50 years, but at least 40. This entire model is flawed at this point. In fact, the old gun systems, like the Vulcan cannons we used to have, mounted on a not-so-great armored chassis, would be better weapon systems and cheaper for dealing with drones than what we're doing. So why did we end up in this space? How hard is it to design a phalanx gun like the Navy has, put it on an armored personnel carrier, oops, we did it before, and just put it in the combat zone to target drones? It has its own radar locking system. It requires no external support. It could easily take out these janky ass Shahed drones, easily. That's not even a question. And that's with technology that's 40 years old. Imagine what a properly deployed short-range air defense system could do if designed and, you know, built by people who care about defending America and not so much about just, you know, making a big profit. I don't know what to tell you, folks. I think these wars are stupid. I think the Iran war looks synthetic and in that sense kind of fake. But if you believe it's real, then you need to understand the atrocity of being in a situation where you can't defend against drones is not by accident. I know motherfuckers who love to quote the edgelords on YouTube. Motherfucker, listen, I was an officer, short range, 14 Sierra in the 90s. And yes, I was a junior officer. I pushed back on the idea that our role was irrelevant and I was told to beat bricks. So please fuck off. This is not by accident. This isn't accidental folly. If you want to believe the 9/11 bullshit, we couldn't know, we didn't know, we shouldn't know, fuck you. Because if that statement's true, then every anarchist is correct. What the fuck are you spending your money on? They don't know, they can't know, they would never know. But here, there's one thing the government's good at. They can point a gun at you and make you pay for their mistakes. They can do that. Next topic. Dan, you're terrible. I know I'm terrible. So yesterday was Taco Tuesday. Of course, the ceasefire was supposed to be over. Of course, it looks like the ceasefire is over. Today, some Iranians attacked some ships. The other day, we boarded an Iranian ship. Trump said 3 or 5 more days, but we're still doing a blockade. The ceasefire is over? The ceasefire is not over. This is a statement from the President Admiral of the United States government of assholes who also have herpes because Melania Melanoma probably has herpes. This is coming from the office of the giant douchebag President of the United States. Based on the fact that the government of Iran is seriously fractured, like his psyche, not unexpectedly so, and upon the request of Field Marshal Asim Manour, I don't care. And Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif or whatever, Omar Sharif, I don't care, of Pakistan. We have been asked to hold our attack on the country of Iran until such time as their leaders and representatives can come up with a unified proposal. I have therefore directed our military to continue the blockade and, in all other respects, remain ready and able, and will therefore extend the ceasefire until such time as their proposal is submitted and discussions are concluded, one way or another. So let's talk logic. Because some of my gaslighters who pretend to be real people and listen to me love to send me edgelord bullshit. So let's talk history and logic. During late 1944, we had lots of intelligence that the government under Adolf Hitler was fractured and fragmented. Do you think that we felt good about that or bad about it? Because this is not a trick question. Actually, that was great fucking news. It meant that as we moved east, so to speak, and the Soviets moved west, so to speak, and probably more us than the Soviets, we would find ourselves with generals and field marshals who would say, you know what, here's a division or two of POWs, okay, take me prisoner, but, you know, give me the deal, okay. No one in their right mind would have said, let's hold off attacking Germany until they get unified again. That would have been batshit fucking crazy. So if you're wondering, is there any strategic reason to do this? None. If what Papa Blump is telling you is true, and we've fractured them and we hurt them, then it's called pushing the initiative. If we've destroyed their air force and all their air defense and all their missiles, you don't pause and say, oh, well, let's let them get unified. And as far as the blockade goes, I don't know what that is. It seems like one of the dumbest blockades ever. Because, frankly, the Iranians can always ship across the Caspian Sea. And then at that point, are we going to start attacking Russian ships? Then there is the fact that there is a railroad that's nearly finished, except for where we bombed recently. But if you study the American Civil War, you know railroads can be rebuilt quite quickly. Yeah, Iran has choices, unless we want to start World War III. We don't. I mean, we can say we have plenty of oil, and that means that, quite literally, Trump would have to nationalize oil, because on the market, it's still going to be priced high. So the only way Trump could control, you know, the price of oil is literally to control the oil. That would mean basically nationalizing oil assets or doing what Obama did during the great financial crisis, which is the equivalent, making the United States the stockholder. Well, that's the same thing as nationalizing, really. It's just a fancy lawyer way of butt-fucking you, but convincing you that they just washed your car. If you believe the statement that Trump issued, and I think he's a calm smoke. You take him too seriously and you get a call from the Secret Service. So don't take him seriously. He's a calm smoke. He's not worth thinking about in any way, good or bad. But if you believe he's something of mass, that there's, you know, actual electrons and protons and neutrons that make up that object, and you believe the statement is true, then it makes zero sense. The part of the statement that is illogical is this idea that we should extend the ceasefire. If you have the initiative, you keep it. You don't lose it. This is like saying, well, we have the initiative and we've sunk all their ships, but you know what? We're going to give them another few days. No, this is kind of a mealy-mouthed way of doing what this administration's been doing since the beginning, and that is offering peace, which is obviously, on its surface, just more time for preparation. We are not remotely prepared to provide short-range air defense to forces. We're not. The Stinger missile is not designed to take on those drones. People can say, well, you can target a drone, maybe. That's $60,000. Well, that was back then. Today, that's probably $250,000. You just fired a quarter of $1 million and Raytheon will get the check. Oh, no, Dan, we sell them at $150,000. Okay, so we'll say $150,000. And these drones supposedly cost maybe between $500,000 and $2,000. And truly, we don't know. We don't really know the price of a drone in Iran because their financial system is not our financial system. So we don't really know. We don't know if the Russians and the Chinese are providing lots of tech just to test it out because they're kind of scared, and rightly so, given the sort of the ultimate path of Muammar Gaddafi and other types of leaders who get politely asked to leave the planet. Yeah, they're not stupid. They know that the Eye of Sauron can turn on them, so they're sending weapons to Iran. We are not prepared to provide short-range air defense. Now let's talk about high to medium altitude. It looks like these hypersonics beat us right now. We don't have a weapon system to take down a hypersonic. You could say, well, Dan, don't we have laser systems? We have the airborne laser, I think, still. And I say still because that was a system back in the 90s. It's been around a while. The U.S. Air Force Airborne Laser System. It's a laser mounted on a 747, basically. And it's efficient at a higher altitude. At lower altitudes, not so efficient. So if you had a few of those in theater, you might be able to use those against these weapon systems. But truly, if they could, they would have, right? There's a lot about this that doesn't make sense. We were told that the Israeli air defense was this ultimate Iron Dome. And, you know, even Papa Blumpity Blump says we need to have a golden dome or whatever, a golden lid. Yeah, something like that. Something sexual, because he's kind of a greasy, nasty old man. And I'm kind of convinced that the secret he's keeping is not having sex with strangers, no. That he probably had sex with his own daughter at Epstein Island, and Baron, well, he looks like he's a few twigs away from the tree trunk. And families do that. Families will do that to preserve their blood. And why wouldn't Papa Blumpity Blump do it? It's a greasy, nasty thing for greasy, nasty families to do. And he seems like he's a greasy, nasty guy, if you think he has mass. If you think there are protons and neutrons and electrons there. But in my opinion, he's a giant smoke grenade. He is serving the purpose of COVID on steroids. People say, well, Iran is the COVID. No, Trump is the COVID. And Iran is just one of its little storylines, just like the BLM George Floyd stuff. It's just a little storyline in the greater COVID. And I think Iran is just a storyline in the greater Trump. If this is popping smoke, if this is the phase where the final phase of bugging out, you know, get your suite in Antarctica, 25% off, a free suite upgrade. If this is it, right? I can't really tell you if this is it or not. I don't know. But I can tell you right now that Trump's a column of smoke. His purpose is to mystify and anger and to daze and confuse. In fact, this whole thing about psychedelics, psychedelic drugs. And again, I've done shrooms, so I'm not judging. I'm not a fan of LSD. I think there's a reason why the CIA likes that drug. But I think shrooms can help people. Frankly, I kind of wish I had some shrooms right now, because my situation vis-a-vis work is so fucking Kafkaesque, but really not elegant or fancy. It's more like, imagine the Kafkaesque absurdity of hobos and people that live in storm drains. It's just pathetic and sad and contradictory. And it does reveal, you know, it's if I'm the only one bearing witness, I'm okay with that. It's kind of like the hospital visit. If you know, you know. I'm okay to bear witness on my own, but it's just a strange experience, and shrooms might help. I don't know. I don't know, folks. This next article is from themirror.com headline. Trump tried to use nuclear codes, but was stopped by military chief. This was written by Hannah Broughton, I don't care, and published on 21 April. U.S. President Donald Trump was denied access to his nation's nuclear codes by a high-ranking U.S. military official, according to explosive reports. Oh boy. Retired CIA analyst Larry Johnson claimed on the popular YouTube program Judging Freedom that during an emergency meeting on Saturday, Trump attempted to access the nuclear codes. One report coming out of that meeting at the White House is that Trump wanted to, you know, use the nuclear codes. And General Dan Kane stood up and said no. He invoked his privilege as the head of the military, so to speak. It was apparently quite a blow-up. There are some very bizarre things going on in D.C. It comes amid growing concern about the president's erratic behavior. Just days ago, Trump made a disturbing sex comment on stage that stunned his audience into silence. The nuclear code allegations have not been verified, and it remains unclear what purpose the nuclear codes alone would serve if accessed. Well, you can't get the nuclear dust, snort, snort, unless you got the codes. However, this follows reports that Trump was excluded from the Situation Room by military advisors during a crucial Iran rescue mission. The U.S. president was allegedly kept out of the deliberations due to worries about his explosive temperament. Senior administration officials feared his unpredictability could jeopardize the operation. After the destruction of a U.S. aircraft by Iranian forces earlier this month, Trump reportedly spent hours shouting at staff in the West Wing while being tormented by recollections of the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis. The U.S. has been engaged in conflict with Iran since February the 28th, when combined U.S.-Israeli airstrikes were launched on multiple strategic Iranian targets. Yeah, including a school for girls. Iran retaliated by striking locations throughout the Middle East, throwing the region into turmoil. Oh boy, the bad Iranians. And shutting down the vital Strait of... You're never going to see the money they make off of you. Shipping lane. Okay. A temporary ceasefire has been established, but no lasting peace agreement has been secured. Meanwhile, the possibility of meaningful peace talks still hangs in the balance. Mohammad Bagher Qualibaf, whatever, Iran's chief negotiator and parliament speaker, wrote in a post on X early Tuesday that we do not accept negotiations under the shadow of threats. And the Islamic Republic has been preparing to reveal new cards on the battlefield. Iran, while not formally acknowledged as a nuclear-armed nation, is believed to possess uranium enrichment technology that could facilitate nuclear weapons development. It remains unclear if or for what purpose the U.S. nuclear codes would be deployed. Yeah, there you go. Rumors about Trump's health. Nuclear codes. So, I think if you spend too much time trying to deconstruct the personality of Donald Trump, you might find yourself in the same boat you were in just a few years ago. I once jokingly said that Biden's brain was really a level at Langley CIA, you know, LL minus 90 or something, 90 floors below the surface of the earth. And inside that room was like a mission control like you'd see at NASA. And there were little seats and little chairs and little keyboards for people to type stuff with. And some parts of the room were Biden's sense of humor. Some parts of the room were Biden's social messaging. Some parts of the room were Biden's attitudes about sex and love. That, in essence, Biden by 2022 was more or less just this kind of empty skull. And into it, they poured the information. Who knows? It seemed as if there were several people that kind of looked like Biden. Who knows who was president? And at this point in American history, why do you assume that your vote or your choices or anything you do will impact that? Current events, folks, I can tell you my situation in the school district is not going to be changed by voting or respect for the law or even lawyers. Like, you might have a lawyer, and there might be a lawyer who will help you. They're not going to help me. I'm already way past that point. I already feel like my health has been harmed by this process already a month into it. And I feel like a few more weeks of this is probably going to kill me. And nobody gives a fuck. And you can email me and say, I give a fuck, and here's $20, and fuck you. You're going to need the $20. Go get yourself some fucking ramen noodles. Thank you. as far as the nuclear codes go, here's where I stand on that. I have said this since early 2020, or more or less March, when I realized that the COVID was bullshit. That if they were going to nuke us, we would have all gone to sleep some night in October of 2019. And about 80% of us, based upon the rank ordering of zip codes by population, would not have woken up the next day. And they would have called it World War III or nuclear war. They can make up any excuse in a situation like that. And if it's coordinated by us, the Russians, the Chinese, and anyone else who wants to be part of the plan and get a condo in Antarctica, if that was the plan, it would have happened. In my opinion, it would have happened in 2019. There is no reason to do what they've been doing since 2019. Even if you think they're sociopaths, it's just plain stupid. The only reason to conduct a PSYOP with a dial, the only reason to do that, is if you're dealing with a fuzzy event. This is an event that doesn't happen discreetly. It might have a threshold date. Like, you could say it was on this date in 1929 when the stock market crashed and the beginning of the Great Depression. But in reality, the Great Depression had threshold dates. It was a fuzzy event. It had a range of dates that was the beginning and a range of dates you could call the end. But it didn't have a predictable start date. A comet or an asteroid hitting the Earth, if you have the data, has a 100% predictable impact date. It doesn't mean we detect them all. That's not my point. According to NASA, one of those things can come up our bunghole from the south, and we might not even see it till it's too late. Remember that trauma monkey from a number of months ago? It's okay if you don't. A fuzzy event is like an earthquake going off. A fuzzy event is like a volcano exploding. A fuzzy event is like a flare from the sun, or worse yet, a super flare. A fuzzy event would be pole shift. A fuzzy event would be total economic collapse. It would be. I mean, yes, you'd have threshold dates and you'd have a range of prediction, but there isn't a specific date for which you can make a prediction. And the collapse of global permafrost would also be a fuzzy event and really fucking catastrophic. It doesn't matter what triggered it. You can get all obsessed with Al Gore and Little Greta Thunberg, and if you cook this summer, you can pretend the sprain's causing it. No, the sprain is like giving my mom fentanyl before she died of cancer. That's what the sprain is. It's hospice. It's not going to fix anything. It's probably, as Dane Wigington said, making things worse. But what it is doing is convincing you, oh, Dan, there's some type of ice age coming. Really? Boston Harbor freezes over on water that's 45 to 50 degrees in temperature. You think that's reality, shithead? It's not. Sorry. So if you're managing a fuzzy event, what you're really doing is trying to keep people confused until it's too late. It means that you're going to run not just one op, especially if the window's big. And my assumption in 2021, a year into the monkey herpes, is that the window was 5 years. Mainly, and I think I even came to that kind of that conclusion in late 2020, mainly because I believed adrenal fatigue would start kicking in and people would start losing it. You couldn't keep people in that type of fight or flight state indefinitely. But at the same time, they did turn the dial down. The COVID was an op that had a dial. They turned it up, then they turned it down. The BLM Antifa thing had a dial. They turned it up, and periodically they turn it up again and again. And they send the useful idiot freaks, the paid-for agents like the Ian Miles Wrong and Andy No Clue and other recent freaks to these places so they can tell you the truth of what's going on at the, yeah, at the ICE facility. But in reality, these look like more of just the same BLM Antifa trash ops that are just 100% rubber cone fake. And if you want to know when things get real, look for triple strand anchored concertina wire. Look for 50 cal emplacements. Then look for large, obstructions of concrete and steel. Then you're going to have an idea that stuff is starting to get real at that point. So let's talk about the nuclear codes. The nuclear code fear is connected to the nuclear war fear. And like I said, if this was a discrete event, if they were going to have a nuclear war, which is a discrete event, you pick a date, you start it, we would have all died in October of 2019, or most of us would have. But if you look at a lot of the creepy stuff that comes out of the climate community, specifically, what do you do in the case of a runaway greenhouse effect? Now, greenhouse event, runaway, basically a greenhouse event that doesn't happen over centuries but happens over decades. And keep in mind, in recent years, a lot of scientists have been revising their estimates. Like the first blue ocean event, and that is an Arctic Ocean event of less than 1 million square kilometers of actual ice. That wasn't supposed to happen until the end of this century. Now it could happen this year or next year. And there are lots of these tipping points that they made predictions about. When I was in high school, they said, well, if we don't do something by the year 2200. And they started this gaslighting when I was a kid. And in part, it is connected with this idea that they are trying to confuse people. It's like in the late 90s when it switched from global warming to climate change. Well, Dane Wigington's right. They had to do that, because the weather was about to get really freaky. We were entering the terminal phase of geoengineering. It's kind of like I said, this is the fentanyl phase. This is the phase where mom's going away. She's going to the farm. There's no stage five. That's the phase of geoengineering we've probably been in the last couple decades, which means periodically they get the mixtures wrong. And what is that? Well, imagine you're walking down the street and you take a deep breath of something nobody should breathe. But you have what's called an immediate acute allergic reaction, because that's what happens at a certain level of toxicity. Well, you don't slowly die. You literally stop breathing and you drop dead. And unless somebody is there to take care of you, but probably your friend is also dropping dead, you're going to be screwed. Within a few minutes, you're just going to be dead. Could you be saved at that point? Sure. If someone has the right kinds of equipment and EpiPen, stuff like that, you could be saved. But for most people exposed to this type of thing, it's a lot like chemical warfare. You just drop dead. Well, there's evidence, and Dane Wigington has talked about this, that they've gotten the mixtures wrong since 2009. So why wouldn't they get the mixtures wrong again? So just as a side note, if they turn the COVID dial up, that's because the mixtures are starting to get really dense. This summer, that could happen. Another thing Dane Wigington mentions is that there are papers written by the Department of Defense on the subject of using wildfires as a weapon, setting fire to forests as a weapon, setting fires to forests and other types of articles as a means to cool the earth. Just burn down all the trees. Of course this is crazy. It's fentanyl. It's stage four. Folks, there's no stage five. You see, all of the fear monkeys, the trauma monkeys they give you, and they give you lots of trauma monkeys, all of these trauma monkeys are meant to be things that have Hollywood endings. The ones that aren't on the list are the ones you should be researching. Anyways, next topic, Dan, stop it. Yeah, I got a picture of J.D. Vance before he gets on a plane, and behind him, if you can look closely enough, are a bunch of these contrails. You can do your own thinking on that. I don't really care. It looks like after I did my Schrodinger straight episode that a lot of people used that. Probably great minds. Nobody would rip me off, right? That's crazy, Dan. Headline: Stephen Hawking's black hole information paradox could be solved if the universe has 9 buttholes. Oh, no, I mean 7 dimensions and 9 buttholes. This is written by Andre Feldman and published on the 16th of April of this year. A new theoretical study suggests that black holes may never fully evaporate, which contradicts an infamous Stephen Hawking theory that seems to violate fundamental laws of quantum mechanics. Instead, black holes could leave behind tiny, stable remnants that store all the information they once consumed, the study suggests. But there's a twist, literally. For the theory to work, the universe must have 3 extra hidden dimensions that humans cannot perceive, making space-time 7-dimensional. As these hidden dimensions fold and twist, they create a repulsive force that prevents black holes from evaporating entirely, which means, yes, you're going to have to use lubricant. The work, while hard to test directly unless you're Ron Jeremy, links black holes to the geometry of extra dimensions, offering a fresh approach to one of the deepest puzzles in physics. Yeah. Okay, you can read more about the black holes and whether or not the giant black hole is made of seven dimensions. And how many buttholes does the universe have? There's reason to believe that the universe has at least 9 buttholes, and this is something that is considered a controversial theory. But if you go to, like, the online pornography, they'll show you pictures. Extra buttholes. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I don't have the answer. The best I have is to stare into the darkness and figure out ways to smile. Huh. I don't have the answer. I don't have the book. I don't have the crook. I don't have the look. But I'll tell you something. Like a madman, I can stare into the darkness. I can find a way to smile. I don't have the answer. The best I have is to stare into the darkness and figure out ways to smile, Dr. Freckles. What does that mean, Dr. Freckles? Well, I don't know. Right now, today especially, it feels truer than ever. I am trying to smile, believe it or not. I am angry and upset, and I feel sick and stressed, and it could be that a lot of my feelings of sickness are in my head. But I can't imagine that's good for me either. And I'm doing the best I can to push it all away, but this whole process, and it is very much a kind of star chamber process for hobos, this whole process feels unfair and illegitimate. And I'll add again, these types of secret things, they may make sense to you. They don't make any sense to me. It's not really appropriate. It's one thing to say, okay, we need to figure out what's going on, but then to tell people you can't talk to your coworkers. You share a house with one of your coworkers, okay? The likelihood that you're not going to talk to your brother that you share a house with is zero. And if all your coworkers are sending you messages, and if you find out that a student died over spring break, I think you guys are following the logic of it. They had demands against me that were unfair from the beginning, and they don't care. And maybe you don't either. I honestly don't give a fuck. I shook my fist at God today like I have so often since 2023 and told him to fuck off. And it's not because I hate God. I kind of think you have to love somebody to want him to fuck off that much. But, yeah. I don't have the answer, brothers and sisters and pals and friends. I don't have the answer. I don't have the book. I don't have the disc. I don't have the nuclear codes. But I can stare into the distance like a motherfucker, and I can still learn to smile. There you go, fucker. Grab your nutsack. Head to the mountains. Hunt the boovula beast. Can you hear her coyote screams? She's out there. She's at the bar. She's a little bit drunk. She's a little bit slutty. She's a little bit nutty, and you know you like that. You like it, baby. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Oh, how appropriate, right? They said, ask for help. So I asked for help. No help is coming. They said ask for help. I asked for help. They said when you get in trouble, you ask a buddy. I asked a buddy. They said if you need support, if you need a friend to the bitter end, you've always got the Antarctic polar bear, you fuck. And then I found out they were all dead because of Panda Express. There's only so many pandas you can put in the Wong Fu soup. And eventually, you run out of pandas too. It's kind of like the book Cannery Row. If you know, you know. Yeah, you know, in the last decade or so, I've had some gaslighters tell me, well, Dan, you know what your problem is? You don't ask for help. And so I started doing that. And sometimes it works. It's really rare. In fact, the more rational the need, like for example, I have high blood pressure. This is a health concern, which actually makes it a positive feedback because the concern itself raises my blood pressure. Now you put me in a pressure cooker based upon me losing it a little with a couple of joker students at high school, not harming them, not injuring them. You know what the latest laugh is? I was blocking them from leaving. I quite literally was dared. The kid dared me and said, you can't make me leave. And believe me, I used no physical force. I did nothing wrong. But logically, why would I block them from leaving? That's weird, right? That's weird. But again, in a lot of ways, this is like a really redneck, shitty trailer park version of Idiocracy, which I guess is just saying idiocracy, right? Because the more rational the argument, the better my position, the evidence, this makes it worse for me, not better. What they want me to do is come hat in hand and just start crying and say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. These are bullies. And I guess that's ultimately my sticking point. Is that I made this choice a long time ago, friends. Okay, I've stood up many times. I've chosen principle over paycheck very often. And you can call me stupid, and I also don't give a fuck. So I gave up on serving bullies a long time ago. And if the goal of these two shitheads in the administration is to be bullies, well then great, be bullies. And force me out and darken my name in the community, and maybe I don't find a lawyer, but if I do, you guys are in a lot of fucking trouble. Because frankly, I know where a lot of these bodies are buried, and it's not just about bathroom 300. But again, they don't listen to my podcast, and if they did, they'd get really upset and call me insubordinate. And if you'd notice, I don't care about talking about it at this point. I don't, because they will come up with whatever reason they want to fire me based upon that letter, that travesty of communication, the poorly worded insults, based upon that pile of shit in PDF form. They will come up with whatever crooked bully excuses they want to. And if the comeback is we're following procedure, well, gee, like I said, if I could just get a lawyer, I could illustrate many cases where they choose not to follow procedure or ignore it, which frankly, in the eyes of the law, same thing. What's more interesting is that this district depends upon grants. And what's quite easy is to go to the people who give out the grants with all the things I know. And if you come back and say, well, what if the district sues you? Well, wouldn't that be interesting? I actually, you know, there's something called discovery. And yeah, we would discover a lot. So no, my situation is no lawyer's going to help me. There is no rule of law. I am probably genuinely fucked in the context of this job. Best case scenario, they pay me to the end of the year. But given the budget crunches, chances are they just try to cancel me, period. And it's why, you know, even though legitimately I need the sick leave because I'm not going to a Star Chamber meeting with a dodgy heart, no offense to them wanting me to drop dead, but I'm going to choose not to do that, you know, today or tomorrow. I'm using up my sick leave because they'll just yank it anyways, right? This is crooked. This is broken. Next topic. No help is coming, folks. You can ask for help. I've asked people in recent days who said they owed me one, but it turns out when you owe somebody something, it's not always what you think you're going to get paid back. It doesn't matter. It wasn't one person. It was a whole bunch of people. A whole bunch of people who had more than 24 hours notice to provide help. And instead, what you end up with is crickets or lots of excuses. And I am so done with it. If the crooked world that you love is here, gaslighter, you enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts. Next topic. Trump administration in advanced talks for Spirit Airlines rescue package. I'm going to stop right here. Here's an article about the whole Spirit Airlines thing. I have called the United States of America consistently, at least in the last 10 years, a neo-Stalinist hellhole. But unlike Stalinism, where you try to price everything, they just price one thing, the value of your labor, and they do that with the Federal Reserve. So it's neo-Stalinist in the sense that it's sort of improved. But Trump is not the only asshole to do this sort of thing. Obama did a shit ton of this stuff when he was president. He used all kinds of taxpayer money to prop up companies. And we were told, too big to fail, too big to fail. If you want to know why that stream that used to have salmon in it is drying up and dead, it's because of the too big to fail. Because nature doesn't know that. Nature understands too big to succeed. It has no clue of our own upside down logic. But that too big to fail does lead to toxicity. That too big to fail does lead to lots of loans that got to get paid off. That too big to fail does lead to a strip mine in Nigeria where 10-year-old kids have tumors all over their bodies and they're not getting paid shit so that you can have too big to fail. If a mega man comes up to me and says, oh, I believe in free enterprise, fuck you. You're a commie. Mega man, you're actually a nasty ass commie. You're one of these confused commies who thinks that taxing people to pay for a helicopter to drop commies out of is somehow not commie. No, that's just another version of being a fucking commie. Idiot. Anyways, fuck you, Mega Man. And you got your neo-Stalinist hellhole just like Obama time. But the difference is, this is not so real. Obama was like, okay, imagine this crooked country is like an old car that's really beat up, and every kid got to learn to drive with it, but one last kid needs to have a chance to get the keys. That was the Obama administration. That was the whole purpose of it. People should have understood it was over at that point. And again, this isn't about being black or white, but this is about third stringers and fourth stringers. In the last decade or so, we've had a lot of third and fourth stringers being tossed at us, and we're told they're the best. Actors, writers, directors, the 17,000th version of fucking Star Wars. When I played basketball in grade school, if you saw third and fourth stringers playing, it's because the outcome of the game was certain. Good luck, Mega Man, with your neo-Stalinist bullshit. Oh, Dan, I voted for Trump. Why? Give me one reason that doesn't make you sound stupid. Next topic. Okay, so headline, gunman who killed tourist injured 13 others, including Americans, atop ancient Mexican pyramid, and he's been ID'd. This is written by Jared Downing and Zoe Hussein and published on 420. A Canadian tourist was killed and 13 other people were injured, including several Americans, after a crazed gunman held a group hostage atop a pyramid at Mexico's famous Teotihuacan, I don't know how to say this, ruins on Monday morning. I know this isn't funny, guys. The gunman climbed halfway up the Pyramid of the Moon, a nearly 2,000-year-old structure that was once used for ritual human sacrifice, just after 11:30 a.m., and opened fire on his cowering victims before finally turning the gun on himself. Okay, you guys can read the rest of this yourself, because frankly, it seems like every mass shooting has the same plot. Every single one. It's hard for me to sort of parse this out and say, well, no, this one's special. They're all kind of terrible. I can't tell you how real they are. When I think about Sandy Hook, it seems like that was somewhere in between. But who knows? You know, if you try to question an event like that, you get in trouble. But most people don't have the resources. And then we're given someone like Alex Jones. Well, Alex Jones is the people's investigator. He turns out just to be a plain stupid turd. I mean, that guy every so often points his needle at Trump in the sense of he's our guy. And then he has his falling out and then he falls in again. He serves his purpose in terms of disinformation. He was never the person who was going to be digging into Sandy Hook. He was always going to be the victim of backlash and renewal. And when I say renewal, I mean sheep dipping. He was always going to go through the trial, just like Tucker Carlson, through the persecution like Candace Owens, and come out the other side with over 1 million new followers. You know what's fun? Every time I chose principal over paycheck, I got zero social media followers. None. I never got any followers or acolytes. No one ever came up to me. At the one job, the job where I worked for a company that was half owned by Goldman Sachs, I got people their health insurance because of what I chose to do, and I lost my job. And yeah, nobody cares. I mean, they care that they have the health insurance. They don't care about a person who did it. And frankly, if you're doing the right thing, you shouldn't care either. I never cared. I chose to do the right thing because I knew it was the right thing to do. These make-believe magical people you think are heroes because yesterday they had 200,000 followers and today they have 2 million, wake the fuck up. Charlie Kirk was an op. You can have all the conversations about whether he's alive or dead or who killed him. The more time you spend on Charlie Kirk's brain, the more likely it is you're wasting the little precious time you have left to survive. No matter what world you think you're in, some people think they're in two worlds or three worlds. Here's the deal. Your ability to buy ground beef is based upon the fact that the dollar is issued as the standard currency of energy. As energy gets traded in all forms and other denominations, that tax goes away. There are estimates that that tax accounts for half or maybe nearly 80% of the value of the money in your pocket. Whatever happens next, if you're a brightsider, and I don't know at this point, if you're a brightsider, I think you're deeply fucking confused, because best case scenario, we're on the verge of the end times. I'm still faithful. I tell the Lord to fuck off, sure. He knows I still have faith. But best case scenario, if you're a brightsider, we're on the edge of the end times. But whatever. What we're looking at right now is today, like me going to the grocery store and kind of cringing when I look at ground beef. And I do that often these days, not because ground beef is necessarily worse meat in terms of quality. Frankly, it's probably a little worse, but beggars can't be choosers. But I also recognize that there's just going to come a day where there's just going to be nothing there. And then there won't be any chicken and there won't be anything else. And you say, well, I raise my own chicken. God bless you do. You keep doing that. But it's not just about the chickens. It's about how many of your neighbors are hungry. I hate to break it to you, but none of you have enough bullets. None of you have enough knives or swords or bombs. None of you have enough weapons of destruction to protect yourself against the 10 or 20 hungry people for every one of you. And that's the world you're looking at. I don't care if you live in the city or in the country. You're deeply confused. And if you add to that a drought, so it's not just there's no food, but there's not a lot of water either, then this gets really bad really fast. And yes, the cities will be worse, way worse. And I think this could be the first summer where people will understand what that means. And it won't just be people stealing air conditioners in Seattle. Huh? If you know, you know, right? Dan, yeah. When I was a kid, nobody had an air conditioner in Western Washington when I was a kid. Nobody. Ever. Period. I mean, maybe one or two people, but nobody felt like they needed it. If you don't think things have changed, you're so fucking confused. And I get gaslit, but the problem is the gaslighters are starting to catch on. This is the thing about being managed or crazy. I hope I'm schizophrenic. I really do. But the thing about being managed by other agencies is they do periodically have to go to ground. People have to switch jobs. Like, one person might be able to spend a week with you, but they might have to spend 2 or 3 weeks someplace else. That's just the way it works. And I hope I'm schizophrenic. I don't know. It is 30 minutes after the hour, 30 minutes till midnight. Wow. Do I sound like the Bureau of Atomic Scientists or whatever, the Legion of Atomic Scientists? The Society, the Legion, the Bureau, whatever. The people with the doomsday clock. I don't think it's the end of the world. But everybody's world does end. I don't think that, you know, if things get hard, it means life itself is inherently hard. There are good times and bad times and bad times and good times. But if you're realistic, and I'm a realistic kind of guy, I'm 56 years old. You know, when that doctor said, well, long term, if you don't take care of it, and I asked him what the number was, he said 30 years, and I thought, dude, let's talk about the basic sort of reality here. If I'm kicking around 10 years from now, then that means the post-scarcity, super technology, ultimate pill reality is here. And we take a pill, it cures all your ills. You never have to get a colonoscopy again because of Dr. Torpedo Head. Yeah, that magical Dr. Torpedo Head future might just be around the corner. And in that sense, the 30-year estimate becomes flawed because it doesn't matter. But if that reality isn't there, and folks, I don't see a middle ground. I don't think it's just going to keep dwindling along. And if it does, guess who's also okay with the middle ground checking out? The other side of the rainbow in reality, what we're headed for, best case, is worldwide total economic collapse. And it won't just be one reason. There will be several reasons. It's not just about peak oil, you know, whatever. It's about a lot of things that are broken. And if we're really lucky, that period of chaos only lasts a couple decades. I think it's going to last most of a century. And it's going to involve wars and civil wars and revolutions. And chances are Seattle will go really Pol Pot, as I predicted many years ago. And it seems like they got an avocado toast trust fund, baby, as their Pol Pot leader, not surprised. Here's the thing about socialism with a smiling face. It takes a millisecond for it to frown. You can turn that smile upside down. Socialist-type people end up going to violence because that ends up being their only option. They want to compel people to behave a certain way. They don't want to ask for it. They don't want it voluntarily. No, eventually they go towards using the baton and the prison and torture and killing people. So yeah, you may think you've got an avocado toast-friendly person there as mayor of Seattle. I think what you have is a future Pol Pot, and this summer is going to tell that story too. Good luck, Seattle. I mean, I don't really mean it. I think Seattle's a shithole at this point, and people let it become a shithole. And a lot of the people who made bank off of flipping houses allowed it to become a shithole, to be honest. I mean, if I'm being blunt, that whole housing pyramid scheme turned Seattle into a fucking shithole. So yeah, it's a shithole. And that shithole is probably going to burn bad this summer. And oh, by the way, the reservoirs that provide your hydroelectric, provide your water, you live in a shithole. Next topic. Oh, no more topics. So anyways, it's very close to midnight. I should close this out. I want to say something positive, but I don't know what to say. I am 100% convinced that this process I'm being put through is wrong. And the argument that it's within procedure or standard doesn't make sense given the non-standard things I've seen. So the argument of procedure and standard is flawed from the get-go. So the only thing I'm left with is cruelty. And I get it. I think there are people out there whose egos can only be flattered by being cruel. It's April the 22nd, 2026. It is almost April the 23rd. Have a great day tomorrow or whatever.